Hi, I'm Mel Pearson from the Michigan Tech hockey team, and you're listening to the voice of the Huskies, Knicks 93.
Go Huskies.
It's time now for the Mel Pearson Show on Huskies Radio, Knicks 93 WKMJ.
Across the line, Trent's watching him carefully. Here's a chance for Hayden, and shoots.
The Mel Pearson Show is brought to you by the Turvo Agency in Hancock, the Library Restaurant in Houghton, and Habanero's Fresh Mexican Kitchen in Hancock.
Lake Accounting, M26 Houghton.
The Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images on the campus of Michigan Tech. Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. Superior Smiles in Hancock. Coca-Cola of Hancock. Kelly Jepson, your State Farm Insurance Agent of Houghton. And by Peterlin Distributing in Calumet. And now, with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Mel Pearson, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Thank you very much, Josh. We do appreciate it. Trained professional here, and glad to have you with us on the Mel Pearson Show. Coach will be joining us real soon. Want to get your questions in? Do so. It is DJ@themix93.com. DJ@themix93.com. And Coach will be answering your questions a little bit later on this hour. This week in the WCHA, while the Huskies were idle, it was Bemidji State on Friday defeating Lake Superior State by a score of 2-1. Minnesota State and Alabama Huntsville tie. We'll talk about a weird goal in that game. Miami and Bowling Green. Not a good night for Bowling Green. 4-1 the final there in favor of the NCHC's Miami. And it was Northern Michigan getting beat by Ferris State 5-1. Those were the Friday night scores. And Coach joins us now. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, Dirk. I'm fabulous. It's hockey week. We get to get back at it and play some games this weekend. And boy, oh boy, do they have some implications. So things have really ratcheted up after this weekend. So we're in basically a three-week dogfight right now for the McNaughton Cup.
This is awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. So did you, you and your coaching staff, you had guys looking at other games, I'm sure, and watching any other recruits or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, we had a busy weekend. I just got back just in time for practice last night. We practiced Sunday because we gave them a couple days off. We gave them Friday and Saturday off, and more so we could get out on the road and do some recruiting, but also to give them a break. And this will be the last break we get. Hopefully we can get all the way. And if you go all the way, you don't really get too many breaks in between. So if any at all. So we were doing some recruiting. I had a chance to see some of our players that are coming in, and I thought they looked really good. It's always nice when you go to the rink and see people that you have committed to and they've committed to you, and you watch them and they play well, because there's sometimes you go in and, you know, maybe they have an off night or whatever. Not that you're going to second guess yourself, but it's always good to walk in the rink and see them really play well. So very encouraged by that. And then we, obviously saw some other young men that we're trying to get to come to Michigan Tech in the future. So it's a great weekend for the coaches to be able to get out and look at some prospects. And normally we don't get to do that this time of year, but there's a lot of important things going on out in the hockey world. So that was good for us. And then our team had a couple days off, like I mentioned, Friday, Saturday, and we got back at it last night, 4 o'clock. We had a good practice just to get back on the ice after having 2 days off. So and the boys had some energy, and that's what you're hoping. You're hoping, because of the time off, that they get healed both physically, mentally, and they're excited to go, which I think they are, you know. They watch the results. They watch the standings. They figure it out. They're smart guys, so they know we have a chance. We talked a little bit about that last night, but really it boils down to, you know, one game at a time. The old cliche, you know, we have to take care of business on Friday night.
We'll be at Bemidji. You were talking about going and watching recruits that you already have locked up to be Huskies. What does that do for you, Coach? You kind of just kind of getting them in places where you think they might help the team, or what does that help? How does that help you watching them when they're already committed?
Well, for me, it's important. It gives me a good idea of what they can do, what type of player they actually are. So when they get here, you already have an idea of you know, where you're going to slot them. Can they be a power play guy on your team? Are they good penalty killers? Good on faceoffs? Just the speed they have. So you get an idea of what type of player they are. And I think that's really important. As a head coach, a lot of times you don't get the opportunity to get out and see all the recruits as much. So for me, to see a few of these guys this weekend was really important. And like I said, it gives me a good understanding. I've seen them before, so but to see them in the critical games, in key situations, was really good for me, and you know, see how the coaches are using them now and how they play, and you get a feel for it. So down the road, you know, a couple of these guys are still two, three years away. So, you know, hopefully they continue to grow, mature, and you know, continue to play the same roles. But still, it's a good feel for me, and then I can also give them feedback, and our coaches can. You know, if they ask you, well, what do I need to work on, or how do you think I played, or whatever. So you have to be careful, because you don't want to give them too much coaching, because they're getting that already from their current coach. But at the same time, it's okay to offer advice and some things they can improve to help them get ready to play at the next level.
I know these kids are used to having people up in the stands watching them. Do they know usually when somebody like you or somebody representing any school is in the building watching them particularly?
Oh, no question. They know. It's just the way it is now. So I saw a high school game in Minnesota on Thursday night, and you know, you walk in there, and the first guy I run into is a Detroit Red Wings scout. Then next guy I run into is a Boston Bruins scout, and they are there to watch one of the players, obviously, that we had committed. So they're all, you know, they're asking you about the kid, and but they know. And there were some other people in the building that night, and obviously, all the games I got to, there are multiple NHL teams and multiple college teams, as well as junior teams. So, you know, they're looking, the junior teams are all there to try to figure out, you know, can this young man come in and play on my junior team? And most of them are going to have to play at least 2 years of junior hockey. So there's a lot of give and take, too. Junior coaches are asking us all the time, is he available? How many years do you think he's going to be able to play junior? Because a lot of times they want those players for 2 years, the junior team. So, the kids know. They know what's going on.
And what about the coaches that you're mentioning? Do you usually contact? Is there contact made by you as a recruiter to the junior coach prior to being at the game, or is it not always that case?
Not always the case. You know, sometimes you want to fly under the radar if you can. Like you mentioned, they know you're there. I like to go in most times where they don't know I'm coming and just let them play. You know, you just want to see how they normally would play. You know, hopefully they play hard. But the situation this weekend, there are a lot of big games, so they're important games. So there's no need to put any added pressure. Hey, I'm going to be there and whatnot. I usually go down and see them after the game and just say hi to them, just to let them know I was there, because they know you're in the ring. You know, just whether you bump into their parents or their parents see, or someone sees you, and if you don't stop in after, then they go, oh, boy, maybe I thought it played poor or whatever. So, and the junior teams talk to us more. Like they want to know. They're always asking you about players. Oh, did you have this kid committed? Is he really committed? Is he going to play high school next year again? Or you guys want to play junior hockey because we'd have an interest. So there's a lot of communication between us and the junior teams for sure. And the high school coaches. We talk to the high school coaches all the time. So
it's just an interesting world that most that very few, really, I mean, very right. few people get a chance to get a good inside look at it like you guys do.
Yeah, no question about it. It's interesting. It's, you know, there's a lot going on, and a lot of these young people have these people advising them now. So mm-hmm. You have to deal with some of these people who are advising them and giving them input. So, you know, it's just not the young man and his family making the final decision anymore. It used to be the coach and the parents and the kid, and now you have some outside advisors that will give them advice, you know. And
you know, it's funny you bring that up, because just yesterday somebody was talking about Jajar.
Oh, Jajar, yeah.
And, I obviously brought up the whole advisor thing and how that whole – sometimes works out in favor of the college team, and sometimes not, obviously not.
Yeah.
And as a fan, they were saying, man, it would have been nice if he stuck around at least one more year.
Yeah, I'd be a senior.
I said he'd be a senior. They said, really? He'd still be on the team? Came in with Batan.
Be a big, strong guy, but just put him in that lineup. Yeah, you know? I mean, it is what it is. And here's a guy who's played in the NHL a little bit this year, Jujar has. So,
Do you think that's hurt him ultimately in his jump?
I can't say it's hurt him. You know, he got in the pro game and started to learn the pro game and, learning the systems and whatnot. But, would he have been any further behind if he had stayed or even ahead? You know, you look at him and Tanner, not too far removed from each other. Jujar is 1 year behind Tanner, and here's Tanner, you know, already played his 20 games. So they both play games in the National Hockey League. Right. But obviously Tanner's only been out half a year, and he's doing well. You know, he played a few games at the end of last year. So when you look at the development track or what's going on here, obviously it's not hurting. So I don't know. It all depends on the individual. Like Dylan Larkin, did he really, you know, when you step right in the NHL, it's different. But when you toil.